El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Welcome on this, Wednesday night? Yep, Wednesday night here, and we are live for the next 3 hours here every night at 10 o'clock on the West Coast. We go all the way to 1 a.m., and on the East Coast, all the way to 4 a.m. here in a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. We have a very specific focus on this show, and, well, I'm not going to go and articulate it. You're just going to have to figure this thing out. I can tell you this, like so many people have often said, but they don't really know what they're saying. It's true about our show. You do have to give us a couple of weeks, probably a year. Actually, you need to give us about 10 years, for some people anyway.
Yeah, I've thought of people in 10 years.
No, you have not talked to anybody like that.
Yeah, I talked to a guy that needed 6 months.
You talked to a guy that needed 6 months to understand the show?
What?
What do you mean, what? What did you just say?
I talked to a guy that needed 6 months to understand the show.
Yeah, so you did talk to a guy that needed 6 months.
He said he needed 6 months.
Is this how we're going to start this thing out?
I'm just saying.
I heard what you said, and I wanted you to... In any event, folks, welcome to the show. Yeah, there's some guys that need 6 months to understand this show, but not too many of them. Just Bud's friends.
Yeah, that's basically it.
Okay, great. Our number is 877. God, man, I'm already tired. 877-876-7445, 877-876-PHIL. And we had a little bit of an event here in Southern California, something that you guys are familiar with, I'm sure, and all over the country. From time to time, you hear news of earthquakes, and we had one. It was a 4.1, and as I've often said, just speaking for myself, I didn't feel it. And generally, if it's something under a 5, if you've lived here long enough, you feel a little shaking in the ground, that's an earthquake, and you kind of go about your day. The 4.1 that we had today is one of note, I think, because we lost all the power in our studio and all of the power in the neighborhood, and it might have been about the time that we had this earthquake, although it was down in Yorba Linda, and who knows? I mean, it might have affected things as far north. It was followed by a 2.4 aftershock. So, in any event, earthquakes are, in my opinion, they are unlike a hurricane, unlike a tornado, unlike... so many other events, even tsunamis. A tsunami is the result of something, and you have a little bit of time. Uh-oh, here comes a tsunami. Earthquakes, there just isn't a whole heck of a lot of time. We even saw that with the that terribly devastating earthquake they had in Japan in 2011 back in the spring, where they have a warning system. And the warning system allows them, I think, 30 seconds, and that's it. 30 seconds, and I think they had the actual televised pictures from the Japanese assembly, the governmental, their elected assembly in Japan, which is, what do they call that, the Diet?
What is?
The Diet is what they...
That's what you're on.
Not a Diet that I'm on. I shouldn't even have brought it up.
No, they're on a Diet.
They're not on any diet, man. It's what they call their elected assembly, a diet. I don't know. Maybe I'm pronouncing it incorrectly.
That's what they call it in Japan talk.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's right, Robert. That's what they call it in Japan talk. Boy, you cats. You know, there's no point in going into radio if you dropped out of high school when you were... When did you leave high school?
Oh, I was a sophomore.
Bud, what about you?
Well, I left in sixth grade.
Okay, but you guys always wanted to be in radio, huh?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, well, guess what? You leave school in the sixth grade, and when you're a sophomore in high school, and you guys are calling Japanese Japan talk, man, you ain't going to get any job on the air.
I don't want a job on the air. I like what I'm doing. Just sitting here, I can eat pizza and look at you.
I'm going to belt you.
I'm doing it.
Eat pizza and look at me. So anyway, the Japanese diet on television, you could see all of a sudden this series of warning lights of some kind of a alarm system, and they all went, oh, ho, let's get the hell out of here. I mean, it's kind of screwy, man.
Well, how much time are you going to have to do that?
You don't have a lot of time. I mean, look, I don't know what they did. They just sort of dove under their desks. That's about all the time you have. You know, head for the hills. Who knows? But an earthquake... is something that, unlike these other weather events I was talking about, it's something you just, you know, bang, here it is, and you don't know it happened until after it happened. You pretty much are dealing with the earthquake after the earthquake. You know, the emotional shock, the damage, which is true of tornadoes, and it's certainly true of hurricanes, but the actual event itself, the hurricane and the tornado, is extremely traumatic to live through because it lasts, there's a duration of time in which you are experiencing the havoc with an earthquake, 30 seconds maybe?
Well, I didn't want to talk about a guy like a minute.
Some of those earthquakes were like a minute. I don't know which one was that one, but...
Yeah, the one in Mexico.
They had the earthquake in Mexico City that lasted a long time. I think they had one in the one in China, one of the ones in China lasted a long time. And by a long time, we're talking a minute. But that certainly is nothing compared to the hours in the case of a hurricane. And in the case of a tornado, it's a long time. And you're watching that thing approach. The tornado itself hits, and that probably feels like it's forever. But with an earthquake, there's no warning, and it leaves people really devastated. And we wanted to talk about that in our show this hour with Dr. Jim Sadler, who is a psychologist from San Diego. And he's going to talk with us about earthquakes, about how to prepare for them, about how to live through them, about how to, you know, come out of them relatively unscathed. And all because we had this one today, and like I said, when I came down to the studio today, we had no power. I thought for a moment there we'd had something had happened to just the power grid here in this area. I had no idea, though, that we'd had an earthquake. Dr. Sadler is on the line with us here in San Diego. Dr. Sadler, thanks for being with us here tonight.
I love coming on the program, Phil.
And when we talk about earthquakes, we're pretty much talking about something that is a common experience. And so everyone sort of has, and it's out of the ordinary, so everyone has pretty much the same reaction when earthquake. It's fear, followed by a sense of what, discomfort and insecurity?
Well, that's a good way of describing an earthquake. You do feel insecure. You feel as if there is a bit of a violation, if you will, of your normal living standard. You feel you're not sure when the next earthquake is going to hit, and you're also so you feel a breakage. There's no trust in nature, and there is a fundamental breaking of our intuitive. Symbiosis, if I could use a $5 word or the $20 word.
Symbiosis, there's a connection.
Yeah, well, like the connection that a child has with a mother. Humans have the same connection to nature. And when nature, almost as if a mother were to stop feeding an infant, when nature rebels against the human family, we do feel as if there has been a disconnection, and we feel as if we are outcast on the waves of fate, and it is quite jarring. The Japanese, I thought, dealt with the hurricane, not the hurricane, with their tsunami and earthquake very, very well, considering that the cataclysm that resulted from it was also a part of the nuclear reactors, you know?
Yeah, they had the possibility of that disaster.
Oh, my God. I looked at that, and I said to my wife, we were watching on television, and I said, oh, my God. The idea that there was a tsunami, and then the idea that there was an earthquake that came, where the earthquake came before the tsunami, and then the tsunami, and then the radioactivity and making everything radioactive. That is almost as if the Japanese science fiction movie came true. And I knew that there were jokes.
Well, there are some pretty tasteless jokes, too.
Absolutely. But you can't blame, in a way, you can't blame, I forget the man, Gilbert Gottfried.
Gilbert Gottfried made a Godzilla crack, which I thought was kind of mild, but in light of what was going on.
Oh, I thought it was rather amusing, but I can understand certainly the fear that people had. So I think today I want to talk about, on your program, Phil, how deep this mistrust goes in humans when nature turns around and sort of rebels against us. and what has happened to me, what has happened to some of my patients, and how we might be able to get ourselves on the right track, too. But I, the bottom line here, though...
Well, can I just say one thing before we take a break?
Go ahead.
In reading your material online, your essential belief is that anybody that can't handle an earthquake is not made of very solid stuff.
Well, that I suppose that's a fair reading, Phil. I don't think I would...
It might sound a little rough, yeah.
Well, but it's a fair reading. I don't think I would say it in quite... But you have to have... You've got to have a little intestinal fortitude to live with the threat of earthquake. Otherwise, you just really got to get go and find something else to do. Go to another part of the country and live there, because it does take a certain kind of person to live with the threat of earthquake and at the same time create the kind of bountiful economy that California has created. And so we're very special people to live here. There's no question about it.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is our number here as we're talking with Dr. Jim Sandler about earthquakes, what it takes to live with the threat of earthquake, and what earthquakes do to humans psychologically. And one of the things that has to, you got to be tough enough to live with the threat of earthquake. But there is a breaking of trust. I want to talk to him about that when we come back. That nature, like a mother, almost takes us and throws us out, or throws us away from the nourishment that she has been providing us. Some kind of thing like that. All right, we'll be right back. 877-876-PHIL here on the Phil Henry Show.
Let's not really win.
Hold on, Doc. We'll be right with you.
That's not
Truth
what I said, though.
He's our All bitch. Right. The Phil Henry Show.
It's more than the way that gay way.
You're listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
And welcome back here to the world famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Oh, you know what? I was going to go to a picture of fault lines for Phil TV viewers, but I made one small error in my calculations, which was to basically bring the bloody computer up on online. And I will do that momentarily, folks, for those of you that are looking at Phil TV in HD. And we certainly welcome you if you would like to get a backstage pass to do that. Go to philhenryshow.com, and you can see Phil TV in HD. All right, so now I have that up. This is not a very good picture, and I apologize for this, folks, but I just grabbed it on the run. And I will describe it for those of you who are just listening on radio. That's a little dinky picture. Let's get Dr. Sandler in here. Dr. Sandler, can you see that picture?
Yeah, I can see the fault lines. You're looking at some tectonic. What you're looking at are the intersection of some tectonic activity, but you can see by the fault lines that you're showing there, Phil. You're right, it's very small, but you can see where California is very much at risk. There are other areas that are very much at risk in Oregon. I think that you have a unique situation in Oregon that I don't know that the people up there really realize just how dangerous, I shouldn't say dangerous, but how close to the edge they're living, and...
What do you mean close to the edge?
I don't mean to say that, but when you're dealing with the... When you are dealing with earthquakes and the psychology of earthquakes, you want to be clear. And the whole idea is to not scare anyone, but to give them... And the people in Oregon, I'd be frightened.
But see, that would scare me when you say that.
No, no, I don't mean to scare anyone.
But you said I would be frightened.
If I lived in Oregon, I would be frightened. But we're talking about my temperament. But I would not feel comfortable. But that's not to say that there's going to be an earthquake. It's simply to say if you have the right attitude and you have the intestinal fortitude, all right,
All right, let's back up here if we could, Dr. Sandler. You're saying...
I'm not saying to be scared.
Well, but you said if you lived in Oregon, you'd be scared. And
that is correct.
All right, hold on. And you said, but don't be, because that's just you talking. You'd be scared. But if you've got the right intestinal fortitude.
What I'm essentially saying, Phil, is if you are the kind of person that, for want of a better word, you've got the guts to take life in all of its dangerous glory. And I say this to my students. Life is, you know, life is a jungle. But think about it. Think about it. A jungle has both beautiful tropical flowers and a beautiful lagoon for you to swim in. And,
They're like Tarzan.
What did he say?
Bud, don't make a case. Bud said it sounded like Tarzan.
Well, you know, young man, no, I'm not talking about Tarzan. I'm talking about a jungle where you have beautiful flowers, and then you also have some of these primates that will come out of the trees and will, they won't let go of you until they've taken your head off, you know. And that's what living in life, and living maybe in Oregon, I don't know.
Well, what do you say, living in Oregon? See, we're talking with Dr. Jim Sadler here on the Phil Henry Show. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. It sounds to me, when you say I shouldn't be afraid of living in an earthquake or in an earthquake zone, you're scaring me. If I lived in Oregon...
I'm just looking at what you showed me here on the map, and I don't like the looks of how these fault lines have shifted over the last 10 to 15 years along the Oregon coast. It looks to me as if one of them runs right up through, it's what we call in
But should people be afraid living in Oregon?
No, Phil, I'm sorry, no. No, not if you have, as I say, the guts to see it through.
Well, what does it mean, the guts? See, if I've got a child, if I've got children, I'm not expecting my children to have the guts, you know?
Absolutely, I understand.
Okay, so I'm expected to do the very best I can for my kids, right? To do the very best I can for my children so that they are safe. And I'm not going to be necessarily looking to win some kind of a He-Man contest.
Well, we're not talking about that. We're not talking about that.
Well, that to me is what it sounds like. You started out here on the show by saying, do you have the, you know, you said it's a bad term.
Well, it is a bad term, and I should not use the term. I should not never have used it. If you are strong enough to stand there like a man or a woman and take it when an earthquake hits and then go about your business, then you are a person who can live in an earthquake area. But if you are not that kind of person, if you're nervous, if you're the nervous type, you know, as I say to my wife, a lot of the people are nervous types, you know. And what
do you call a nervous type?
A lot of people, I think the nervous types are the ones that are always looking at the news, and they're always, oh, you know, whoa, always looking at the news, and they're always yelling and screaming, you know.
Well, I'm always yelling and screaming. I've been living in California.
Well, I know, but I'm just saying, you're not the kind of guy, Phil. Are you afraid of earthquakes?
Not really, no.
All right, well, then you have the guts to live near one. But if earthquakes bother you, then you...
I can't say that they don't bother me.
Yeah, but you're not... What I'm trying to say to you... I'm trying to pay you a compliment, Phil.
All right.
I'm trying to say, when an earthquake hits, do you start chattering away and babbling away about the earthquake for days on end?
No, I do not.
All right. I have people coming into my office after an earthquake hits, and they're just going on and on and on about the earthquake, and they never shut up. And I tell them, why are you living here? Why are you in this area if you're going to come into my office and assault me with this continual chatter about earthquakes?
Don't people go to psychologists and go into therapy, though, to deal with those fears?
Absolutely.
Okay, and when you have someone who is very afraid of an earthquake to the point that they've come to see you, and they're chattering and they're babbling away, what do you, is this what you say to them to help them overcome this fear?
Well, you want to overcome your fear of an earthquake, you get away from the earthquake, is what I'm trying to say.
All right, hold the line here, Doc, okay?
All right, but you're interrupting me in the middle of a flow.
I'm sorry about interrupting you in the middle of a flow. We'll be right back here with Dr. Jim Sadler, 877-876-7445, 877-876-PHIL, as we talk about earthquakes, the psychology that people need to master to live through one, what you should do if you can't, and so on and so forth here. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry.
Welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Dr. Jim Sadler has joined us from San Diego as we talk about the psychology of dealing with earthquakes. We had a little bit of a 4.1 here in Southern California earlier today, and it just got me to thinking about earthquakes and how people are, how we all deal with them differently, and Dr. Sadler joining us. You said, Doc, before we left, and by the way, folks, I think, and I thank Dan Northcraft for pointing out to us, the USGS, do you know that one, Doc?
That's the United States Geological Survey. That shows you the quaternary faults. It also shows you some of the fault lines.
But you're a psychologist.
That's correct, yes.
So you can't really read fault lines, can you?
Well, I can read fault, I can, as the saying goes, I can't read fault lines. I can read you loud and clear. Okay.
What does that mean?
Well, I don't mean anything personal. What I mean is, Phil, when somebody comes into my office and they say, earthquakes scare me, I can take a look at a fault line map and I can say, well, here's why you should be scared. Look at this, and look at right there. If I had you in my office, I'll tell you, for instance, there are fault lines everywhere. Alaska has a great many fault lines. Well, you talk to people in Alaska about earthquakes, and they want to go on and on about how they know all about them. Well,
Alaska's a good... They've had some devastating earthquakes.
Well, they've had earthquakes. But for a guy from Alaska to stand there as one did not too long ago, and my wife and I were on a cruise up there, and I was in one of the restaurants there. It was one of those large beer halls they have, and I was having a beer. And I know that I probably looked a little silly. I was wearing one of those big fur hats, and I was sipping at the Weinenkugel, which I enjoy. And this big, tall guy is standing over me as if he realizes or thinks he's looking at some bug or insect, you know. Now, I lift weights. I am 5'8". I do lift weights, but in a bulky jacket that is for cold weather, Phil, you're not going to see my physique. And with a big fur hat, you're basically going to see a man standing in front of you with a fur hat. And there's not a lot to identify a man's physique. So when this man walked up to me, and he's about 6'2" or 6'3", and he starts telling me all about earthquakes, it was as if he was talking to an insect. And I went back to the hotel, and I wrote about it, because my wife often says to me, when you're upset, write. You know, just do writing. And I said, I'd like to publish someday. And thank God for my wife, Amber, who was very honest with me. She said, you're not good enough. No one wants to read what you write, but you should read what you write. And
okay, so what happened? I mean...
Well, what I'm getting to, Phil, is that this man treated me like an insect because he was from Alaska and I came from California. And I was trying to tell him, I know all about earthquakes. I don't need some guy... You know, and I think I said something smart to him, like, I don't need some guy that humps a caribou leg or whatever I said. It was a very rude thing to say, but...
Well, it sounded to me like the two of you guys were getting into quite a confrontation.
Well, it was because, he assumed because he used the term that I sound like half a you-know-what.
Okay, so, Dr. Sadler, what I'm...
Hold on, I'm not done yet, though.
I understand, but you're telling me about a personal problem that you had with this guy, and I'm trying to find out. We lose Dr. Sadler's line there. Oh, there he is. Doc, are you there?
So what he said then was that I didn't know anything about it.
We lost you for a second. Say it again.
I'm sorry, Phil. He said to me that because, you know, he knows all about Alaska earthquakes, and he didn't see that I had, that I was a formidable man. And so what I'm saying is, I got more than enough guts to live in an earthquake environment. And I have more guts to live in an earthquake environment than a lot of guys that come back from Iraq or Afghanistan, if you think about it. You know, Phil?
Well, that's an interesting way of putting it. What do you mean by that?
Well, because there are men who have dealt with war, and they have dealt with the horror of war and machine guns and all of the things that you deal with when you're in combat, and yet they are scared to death of earthquakes. And yet Dr. Jim Sadler, me, who this guy in Alaska thought was nothing more than a bug he could step on, I deal with earthquakes pretty well.
Have you dealt with any men who've been combat veterans in your practice?
Oh, yes, all the time. I deal with men who are military men, and some of them have been in Vietnam or they were in the Gulf War. Some of them, we even dealt with a couple of Korean veterans and years ago World War II veterans who are terribly afraid of earthquakes. And it's a moment where you can't resist saying, you know, I've never been in combat, but earthquakes don't bother me as much as they do you, and you feel good about it.
But that's not really your job to feel good.
No, absolutely not.
I mean, your job is there to help the whoever the patient is deal with this fear.
Well, that's true, but like this guy in Alaska who thought I was nothing more than a cockroach he could step on, talking about earthquakes, and I said to him, well, I lived through the Northridge quake, and I could see he got scared, and he was telling me all about Afghanistan and everything else. I said, it doesn't matter.
Okay, so point being what?
The point is, if you don't have the guts to live through an earthquake, then what are you talking, and then you know, quit, don't bother me, you know. Bug off until you get a little more life experience.
All right, Dr. Jim Sadler with us, 877-876-PHIL. I don't know quite how to, I don't know if I'm understanding you, how that all works in the context of being a doctor who's trying to help somebody, you know?
I'm reminding, what do you mean?
When you say to somebody, I don't care whether the guy was a combat veteran or not, I don't care if the guy was in Iraq or World War II or whatever, it sounds to me like you're just using that as an opportunity.
Oh, no, not at all, Phil. No. I'm simply saying, I'm bringing them down to my level. Because when I wear a fur hat, when I wear a big fur coat, and I look like an insect to a guy that's 6'2", and he's got lumberjack credentials, and he's got lumber handling credentials, and I say to him, so I want to bring him down to the level that I'm on.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Here's Austin. Go ahead, Austin. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Dr. Jim Sadler.
Yeah, Dr. Sadler, I'm having a little bit of a difficult time understanding what you're saying, because you're saying that because a man has been to Vietnam or has been to Iraq, that means you got more guts than him when it comes to earthquakes, because he's afraid of earthquakes. What guts do you have when it comes to Vietnam?
Well, I have no doubt that I would do my duty if I was a soldier.
All right, well, what makes you think that a Iraq or a Vietnam veteran would not be able to handle an earthquake?
I just don't think they would, because earthquakes are different. Earthquakes are unseen. Earthquakes come from an unseen sector. They come from a deeper sector. You can say that earthquakes in many ways are almost like a phantom. They're like a phantom. And they come from not only deep in the earth, but they come from deep in the subconscious. And
well, you know, that doesn't really, that's not addressing the problem. That's not addressing the issue. The issue is, you just said that a Vietnam veteran, and you feel like you cut them down to size.
That, yeah, you did say that, Doc.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did, sir. You said you cut a Vietnam veteran or any combat veteran down to size. When you find out that guy's afraid of an earthquake, and you're not, how do you know you wouldn't be afraid of going into combat?
I'm pretty sure. Again, I think a lot of people make this mistake.
Because you sound a little wimpy to me, and I don't mean nothing by that.
Well, you're listening to my voice, but if you saw me, you would have no doubt in your mind that I can, you know, bring it if I need to.
All right, well, you say you're going to bring it. Okay, but you've never been in combat, so how do you know?
I'm telling you right now, I know myself well enough to know that I would be able to deliver some serious heartbreak if I was ever asked to go into combat.
But why can't you say then about the combat veteran that he could deal with an earthquake?
Because it's not the same thing. I've seen combat veterans come into my office and say, I'm afraid of an earthquake. And I laugh at them, you know. What do you mean you laugh at them?
What does that mean, you laugh at them? Aren't these people supposed to be there for help?
They are getting help. But the first thing that happens, it's very natural. And then, of course, you want to help them, but it's very natural to say to a big, bad Iraq, the big, bad Iraq veteran, hey, what are y'all crying about an earthquake, you know?
Yeah, but you're supposed to help them. You're laughing at that man, and I doubt seriously if any combat veteran will come in and cry.
Well, I mean, they're afraid of it. And
so what you do is you take that moment to make fun of them?
No, Phil, I didn't say that.
Yes, you did. You said that at first you want to make fun of them.
No, sir, I didn't say that. I said, yeah, well, you do take a moment.
Well, what do you mean you take a... So, in other words, they come into your office, they want help with their fear of earthquakes, but you find it amusing that these are big, bad combat veterans from Iraq who are afraid of earthquakes. So what do? You mock them?
No, I didn't say I mock them.
Yeah, you said that you take a moment to... lord it over them.
I never said lord. I said I take a moment to look at them and go, because Phil and sir, the gentleman on the phone, you can't believe it. You have a Vietnam or Iraq veteran in there says you're afraid of earthquake, and you sit back and you go, my God, look at you, you know. So
a guy who is afraid and probably feels insecure about his fear as well as insecure about the earthquake itself, you look at him and you go, my God, look at you.
I think that you probably do more damage in the psychological deal that you do than anything that those men have been through in Vietnam. You know, and I mean even more than an earthquake.
But you have to understand, it's not often that someone like me can look at a big, bad, the badass and say, well, you know.
Okay, hold on. 877-876-PHIL. I got to take a break, and I got to come back and listen to what his explanation of all of this is, because I think we need to hold the doctor's feet to the fire a little bit on this, as he talks about the fear of earthquakes and the fact that he doesn't fear earthquakes, and he's seen some big, bad, tough combat veterans of Vietnam and Iraq come in scared to death of them, and he thinks that's funny. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. It's kind of interesting. We're going through the series of maps that they do have on the USGS site. We have Dr. Jim Sadler with us, and we're talking about earthquakes, the fear of earthquakes. And you have brought up something that, it's interesting, Doc, but it's also, I think it's a little cruel, and I don't know what the technique is. And that is...
Hold on, Phil. Let me just say something before you get everybody mad at me. I'm a psychologist. We do use a certain kind of we use different techniques. I'm a Jungian.
What does that mean in practical terms for me or for anybody in my audience?
Well, it's nothing that I'm not going to go into it because it'll take too long, but I have my way of doing things. It boils down to this. When you have someone walk into your office and they're saying that they're afraid of something, and they appear to be someone that shouldn't be afraid of something, I do go into my psychology, the therapy that I do, but I'm human too. And I feel that it's correct and proper for me to take a moment for myself and to look at this big, rough, tough Marine veteran and say, boy, you know, ain't that a son of a bitch, you know, I mean, if you pardon my language.
But that's got nothing to do with psychology.
It has to do with psychology. Yes, it does.
What part of psychology, if you are not helping that man, you're taking a moment for yourself?
It is all, though, the psychological environment, is what I'm saying.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to a phone call here. We have Heidi on the line. Go ahead, Heidi. You're on with Dr. Jim Sadler.
Hi, Dr. Sadler. If I can call you doctor. I have worked in the mental health field.
That sounds very judgmental.
You should be ashamed.
You sound very judgmental.
Well, I'm sorry, sir, but you're being judgmental to your patients. You should never pull in your personal views. You went to school and you were taught how to be human, how to help people. And if they have a fear, you're supposed to help them face their fears and overcome them, not be judgmental and treat them like crap. You must have gone to, like, screw you because you are screwing them.
No, ma'am.
You need to be
helpful.
You
have it all wrong.
You need to be very helpful. You're in the field.
I believe
to help
that I'm the doctor here,
judgmental.
Though. Am I not the doctor? Am I not the doctor?
I'm questioning that because every psychologist I've ever worked with is there to help. They're ethical and they help people. They don't.
Let me ask this, Heidi. Let me ask
that's
here.
Your job.
Let me ask
that you're getting
doctor.
Paid by the hour to help. People, not
Heidi, this is
judge
Phil.
Them.
Heidi, this is Phil. Let me ask Dr. Sadler this question. In what way are you helping these men that come into you, combat veterans, you've described them?
Iraq and Vietnam and some of them.
Okay. In what way are you helping them when you lean back in your chair and say, well, now look at you, the big bad veteran, and you're afraid of earthquakes? How are you helping them?
I'm helping them this way. I'm helping them by helping myself, because what I'm doing is I'm freeing the atmosphere up. I'm
are you paying yourself to do that? They're paying you to do that. Why
well,
are you
I'll take you back. Well, let me take you back to where I was in Alaska. I was standing there with a fur hat and a big fur vest, and I'm sure I look comical, but he couldn't tell how ripped I am because I lift a lot of weights. So here's this guy standing there looking. I beg your pardon?
Who the heck cares what you look like? If you're the doctor, be the professional, be the ethical person.
Yes, no.
Who cares
right,
what you
but this
look
was a
like?
Bar.
They're there to help you.
I'm talking about a bar room that I was in. I'm talking about a bar room I was in Alaska. And this big lumberjack is looking at me like I'm nothing more than a mouse, excuse my language, a mouse turd. You know, I'm nothing to him. And that's when I said to him, well, I come from California, earthquake country, and I could see him step back and sort of, you know, wow, you know, he didn't know what to say.
Well.
What do you mean, well?
What does that mean? I don't understand what that means. He
Unless
didn't know
you're
what to say.
Reader, you don't know what he was thinking.
Well, I could tell that he was, there was fear. I put fear into him. And I think that's important to do with a man that's afraid. He's already afraid of earthquakes. You're right. And he's already been through horrible combat and seen friends of his blown to bits. And none of that is good. But why can't I take a moment for myself? You see?
Because you're supposed to separate yourself from your patients. You're there to help them professionally, not get personal with that. That's unethical. You sign a code of conduct. An ethical thing when you get your license from your state.
I don't remember.
And you're supposed to bring in your personal views. You are supposed to help them professionally.
What does that mean? The guy's been through. No, but you said the guy's been through combat. He's seen his friends blown to bits. This, that. Let me just take a moment for myself, too.
Well, look, you hear my voice. Everybody assumes I'm half a you-know-what, F-A-G.
And okay, let's watch our language.
All right, but because I talk like this, and this girl that I'm talking to right now, she probably thinks I'm some sort of the puny little runt. I'm telling you right now, I'm real.
You know what? I am a very, you know what, the differentiates me from you is I know how to empathize, and you do not.
You know how to what?
Empathize. I'm human to say that,
You said, at least I know enough not to use a dirty word.
I'm sorry.
Okay, Doc. You know,
it got
Doc,
me fired up right now, and that just...
I'm sorry,
it doesn't matter if they're a veteran or a
Let me ask you a question.
Child.
Let me ask you a question. Would you date the doctor you were working for, yes or no?
The doctor that I... No, I wouldn't. That's unethical.
Well, see, that's
I don't
wrong.
Mix business with pleasure.
Well, see that right there.
What?
That tells me that she doesn't have what it takes, you know.
What do you mean
doesn't have what it takes to what? Sure. I live in Utah where it's earthquake country.
I've never heard of an earthquake in Utah, never.
I live right on a fault line. There's.
I'm saying that you've got to be tough enough to go out with the doctor you work with.
That, you know what, Doc, everything you've been saying here about being tough enough.
Why would I, for one thing, why would I do that to jeopardize my job? Two,
so you can understand.
What happens if,
what?
It's just unethical. You don't do that.
So you can understand what I'm going through.
You're not having pleasurable relationships with these people. You're saying that because you think you're better than them, that
yes.
you are... You
okay,
have
we got to go. I appreciate Heidi very much. Thank you very much for your call, but I think that everybody's tongue-tied here. Dr. Sadler, thank you, and I appreciate very much you being on our program.
Well, the lady that I was just talking to, I just want to say, have the guts to date. Seriously, if you work for a psychologist, you're the nurse, or you answer the phone, or whatever you think you're doing, big deal. Have the guts to go out with him.
Phil Henry.
I don't get that.